Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for another morning that you have given us. Worst case scenario, we could actually be laying on our bed right now with oxygen tubes in us, not able to do anything for you, for your kingdom, and for our families. Lord, I pray, Father, as people get frustrated. They get frustrated with what's going on. They get discouragement. Discouragement is one of the devil's tools, probably his greatest tools. And people are discouraged today. And Father, we're seeing a lot of casualties in this warfare that we enlisted in when we became a born-again believer. So Father, I pray, in spite of the enemy's tactics, in spite of what Satan may be clouding our mind with now, that you would open up our mind, our spirit, and our soul to understand this armor that you have given us for this spiritual warfare that we had enlisted in. We don't go AWOL. When you get into a battle, you don't turn and run. You fight. So Lord, go before us and bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 24, as we wrap up the book of Ephesians. What a way to wrap this up. You know, the church we know is a family, but it's also an army. And even though we get so busy in our daily lives, we tend to forget this army is at war. Spiritual warfare is what the Christian life is all about. It's a battle. It's ongoing 24/7, even when we sleep, it's still going on. You have to remember, war has been declared. But here's what I find. Too many Christians seem to be in the dark about who the enemy is. If you're married, I got news flash for you. Your enemy is not your spouse. Our real enemy is Satan. And yet, many times we spend our efforts fighting against each other. You see, Satan can't do anything to hurt God himself. So what's he do? He goes after and attacks that which is of value to God. You and me. That's why it's so important to make use of our spiritual armor, the offensive and the defensive pieces. This morning we need to understand, this armor isn't just to protect us. It's also designed to counteract the devil's assault on Christ's church. In this battle, the objective is the souls of people. By spreading the gospel, our desire is to see souls transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And just the fact that Christ has already won the victory, guys, it doesn't mean we won't have setbacks. We will have setbacks. Here's the bottom line. The church is an outpost of the kingdom of God in enemy territory. So any ground won from hostile forces will have to be defended. Every soldier's life will have hardship. Let me say that again. Every soldier's life will have hardship. That's why as believers, we have to put up with the trials of this life without giving up the fight. There's three things we war against: the flesh, the world, and of course, our common enemy, Satan. So let's go ahead and look at these verses, verses 10 to 24. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you, all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Philippians 4:13, one of my favorites. I can do all things, not some, not most, all things through Christ who strengthens me. It all goes back to who we're relying on, ourselves or God. We also need to remember this provision can be hindered. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's why we're told to put on the whole armor of God. Put on means to envelope in, to hide in, to clothe with. The whole armor, it's speaking of the armor of a heavily armed soldier. I remember years back in Los Angeles, California, a bank got robbed, and they had these two guys, and they're walking around on the street with body armor on. They're being shot at, and it's not affecting them. This is what the whole armor means. A heavily armed soldier. That's you and me. The idea is we need this divine armor in its completeness. I want you also to know there's no armor for your back. That's because we don't turn and run. We don't go AWOL. This is a fight we enlisted in until God takes us home. I mean, it just makes sense. In order to meet our spiritual enemy, we need all that God gives to us so we can live and overcome. A Roman soldier was given a 3-foot by 3-foot plot of ground to defend, even to the point of death. If he lost that ground to the enemy, it would cost him his life. He'd be killed. It's why we need to know how the enemy works and what he uses. The word wiles from the original Aramaic Greek text in the New Testament means deceit, craft, trickery. I mean, you might understand Paul's illustration if you know the loser in a Greek wrestling contest literally had his eyes gouged out. It's what the loser got. This is a real fight, and it's against Satan and his demons. Because of sin in this world, Satan has been given some authority and the world's glory by God. He rules in this world. But you know what? I'm here to tell you and remind him his days are numbered. Satan is the arch enemy of Jesus Christ. Satan has one focal point of attack here on earth. You ready for this? The executive of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he lives in us. What's that tell you? We're taught in the scriptures, whenever our enemy sees a work of the Spirit, he will concentrate all his forces against it. You want to know why you're discouraged this morning? You wonder why you're dealing with what you're dealing with? Satan is focusing his point of attack on you, and he's trying to discourage you. That's what happened to Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Scripture says he was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. But what happened? He was stoned to death by the enemy. Are you getting a picture here? It's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 5, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." So we're told in verse 13 to take up the whole armor. So when the evil one comes, not if he comes, when he comes, we'll be able to stand and continue to stand. You've probably heard the saying, when the smoke clears, are you still going to be standing? It's a fight. I mean, Paul is speaking of the trials that will come into our life. To stand in the beginning and to be standing when the trial is over. It's fighting. It's trusting. It's praying. It's getting in the Word. It's being taught the Word. Isaiah 59:19. You know, I truly think we tend to forget this battle is not ours. The battle is God's. It's not yours. So quit worrying about it. Quit struggling with it. God has this. You're his kid. Come on, man. I love my daughters. I love my grandkids. I'll lay my life down for them. I'll die for them. Well, guess what? God demonstrated that by having his own son, God the Son, die for you and me. How much more is he going to take care of what we are dealing with today? You guys, you got to snap out of it. When that snake, when that viper latched on Paul's hand, when Paul and the guys, the prisoners, were freezing on the island of Malta, what'd he do? Ah! Oh! Mom! Mama! No! Scripture says he shook it off and he kept going forward. I want to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. Because this ties in with the usage of this armor. I know you know the scriptures here, but I want to go over it. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That word led is driven. He was driven by the Holy Spirit. Are we driven by the Holy Spirit? Or is he just kind of there that we seek every now and then? Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now you think Satan knew Jesus was hungry? You bet he did. He knew what was going on in the Lord's life, just like he knows what's going on in yours and my life. And the devil said to him, "Hey, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Satan attacks his flesh. Jesus answered him and said, "Get behind me, devil. What's the matter with you, man? I'm going to have some sourdough bread right now, piping hot with butter on it." Is that what Jesus said? No. He said, "It is written," God's word, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." The word of God, Deuteronomy 8:3. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, Jesus, all of its glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." Therefore, Jesus, if you will worship me, all will be yours. You think Jesus thought about that? Here Satan attacks him with the things of the world. Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." Again, man, the word of God. This is why we have to be in it. It is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Deuteronomy 6:13. Then he brought him to Jerusalem. He set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Jesus, if you're God's son, jump off and commit suicide." Notice how Satan tries to twist the scripture. Man, that's why you got to be dead on. You got to be nailing it when you're reading the word and know the word. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you," Satan says, "to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Now Satan is attacking him spiritually. The flesh, the world, and now the spirit. He quotes Psalm 91:11-12. "But he leaves out to keep you in all your ways." Which speaks of what? In the course of this life, living morally. Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, man, the word of God, Deuteronomy 6:16. "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him and never came back." Is that what it says? Not a chance. In our wildest dreams, we would wish that. Until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Come on, man. This is what overcoming does. It gives you power in the Spirit. He went to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Look at the victory, verse 15. "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." God got the glory. It made me think of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. He said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not man-made. We make them man-made. "But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, binding the strong man, Satan, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity." You know what that means, captivity? It means to take these thoughts prisoner to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Man, if you're doing that, you're not going to be discouraged. You're not going to let it get under your skin. You're going to move forward moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, knowing that battle is God's. He's in full control. He knows what he's going to do. We don't. That's why we let it get to us. Paul says, first of all, stand. He's speaking of holding your ground and getting ready for whatever may happen. It's about being prepared. Well, let's take a brief look at this armor. I could do a month's worth of teachings on each one of this armor, but for the sake of time, I'll just give you a little bit of a brief explanation. First of all, having girded your waist with truth. That means to gird around, to fasten garments with a girdle or a belt. The soldier would have this belt to hold everything together so he would have the freedom to move. What that belt did when he had to run, he would take that robe he was wearing and he would tuck it up under that belt, so he'd have the freedom to move and run. Well, later that belt was used for his sword. Breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate was to protect the soldier from a fatal wound to any of his vital organs. It was only in the front. It wasn't in the back. Because if you're in this warfare, which we are, and you turn, you're going to get nailed. You're going to get hit. The righteousness speaks that Paul is speaking of here, it's not a justifying righteousness that you received when you were saved. Justification, you receive that when you became a born-again believer, just as if you had never sinned. This is talking about sanctifying righteousness. It's something that is ongoing because we sin. We're sinners. So when I sin, I pray, I ask God to forgive me, and he sanctifies me afresh. It's what happens when you yield to the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. This is where the peace comes from. You want gray hair like me? Some of you might be thinking, well, at least you got hair, Rick. I don't. You've got to be prayed up in the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldier wore sandals that had thongs over the instep and around the ankle. The soles were studded with nails, which would give him a firm footing in case of attack. Fourth is the shield of faith. The Roman soldier's shield was large and oblong. Many believe it was about 4 by 2.5 feet. I want you to notice Paul relates this shield to the Christian's faith. Faith constitutes a shield. Faith in God as our Father. Faith in Christ as our Redeemer. Faith in the Holy Spirit as our Sanctifier and Strengthener. Faith in all the promises God has made to us. You see, when we start doubting, when we start questioning what's going on in our lives, when we're wondering and asking God, why are we going through this? Why is this not working out? You know what we're doing? We're showing our Father in heaven that we have a lack of faith. So you know what my word as his under shepherd is to you? Stop it. Quit it. God has this. Just pray and do as you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to do and leave the rest in his hands. With this shield of faith, we can quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Not some of them. Not most of the fiery darts. Scripture says all. All of them, 100%. One commentator laid this out. He said, fiery darts were weapons tipped with inflammable materials, firebrands constructed to set on fire. These darts are fired into the mind, inflaming lust, pride, revenge, or other evil feelings. They come from the great tempter, the evil one. These thoughts sometimes start up suddenly in the mind against our own desire. Sometimes, notice this, even in the middle of holy exercises. This is a painful experience of every Christian, and it must make him thankful for the shield on which they are quenched. He says, an act of faith on Christ, placing the soul consciously in Christ's presence, recalling Christ's anointing love and grace, and the promises of the Holy Spirit will extinguish these fiery temptations. Fifth, the helmet of salvation. Of course, the soldier's helmet was his covering for his head. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober. That word sober speaks of watching. It speaks of having a mental attitude, an alert attitude. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. You see, this salvation is a salvation from the power of sin in this life. It's salvation from the attacks of Satan, speaking of not only deliverance, but of preservation. Six is the sword of the Spirit. God's word, serves for attack. God's word serves to ward off the thrusts of the enemy. I mean, we just read that in Christ using it in his temptation. Everything came, he came back with the word of God. Not with, you know what, Satan, you're a punk, dude. I'm going to get you. I'll get you in the end, Holmes. Don't worry about it. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't threat. He didn't come back. He laid God's word down, and that was it. He moved on. It's a sword of the Spirit, according to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16, 17. The Holy Spirit of God gives it and inspires it. Hebrews 4, 12. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit. Don't let your flesh lead you. You want to be bummed out, discouraged, and defeated? Let your flesh guide you. Watch what happens. Tell me how that works out for you. 7. And I believe this should have been first on the list. Praying always. On and in every situation, we need to pray without ceasing as we're led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We see throughout Scripture, before any work of God was done, it started on the knees in prayer. Jesus set the example when sometimes he prayed all night. We read that in the Gospels. He had just spent the whole day ministering. He was tired. He needed rest. No doubt he was exhausted. But he would spend the entire night praying. Then the next morning, you know what he did? He would get up from his knees and roll it all again. He would minister again. Matthew 26, 41, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 to 11, and 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11. I want to close with this story. I think all of you can relate to it. The devil was having a yard sale, and all of his tools were marked with different prices. There was hatred, jealousy, deceit, lying, pride, all of them at expensive prices. But over to the side of the yard on display was a tool more obviously worn than any of the other tools. It was also the most costly. The tool was labeled discouragement. When questioned, the devil said, "It's more useful to me than any other tool. When I can't bring down my victims with any of the rest of these tools, I use discouragement because so few people realize that discouragement belongs to me." Nowhere in the New Testament do we find an isolated believer. A believer who is a loner. You won't find it. The church is an army. In this army, the soldiers stand together. And as they're standing, they fight for what is right and for God's glory and for God's kingdom. This battle is almost over. It's almost over. It's like when I ran track in high school. When I came around that circle, and I could see the finish line, man, I gave it all I had. I don't care if I had a heart attack. I don't care if I died on the way. I was going to cross that finish line. Guys, this is where we are right now. We've just turned the corner. I can see the finish line up ahead. It's time to give it all we have, man. Trust God with all our being. Because he's got this. He's got our backs. He knows what he's doing. Don't get discouraged. Don't be fed Satan's lie. Let's move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that we've learned this morning. God, I pray we continue to go over this study. As it's on the website, Patrick's website, Revelation 22:21.com. And I pray, Father, that we would use this study to strengthen us every time we're feeling defeated or we're feeling down or we want to quit. We want to throw in the towel, not with you and our salvation, but with what we're dealing with. God, you got this. You're testing us to see if we're going to trust you in and through this. That's why we pray. That's why we pray for strength. Go before us, Father. We love you so much, and we thank you for your word. Bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.